I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to the Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
And here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, Score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about in?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Hello, good morning. Welcome into The Scorecard. We are presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I am not Mike Esposito. Espo has the week off. I'm Adam Staszynski, typically the producer here for The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. Espo will be back next week. But Barry Cronin is still here, so don't worry. We'll be okay.
Whether you like it or not, he is still here.
Yes. Against our best. No, I'm just kidding. No, you're great, Barry.
And we're in the missing Mike formation today, yes. I guess, Adam.
Yeah, and you know, we'll have to find him somewhere. Maybe I'll text him and see if he wants to come on. No, I'm going to let him sleep in. He's much. It's always nice to sleep in on a Saturday, you know.
You never know where. Well, yeah, him and everybody else in Chicago sleeping in, except the people that are on the way to play golf, or maybe in the pro shops, just getting everything squared away and waiting for everybody to come in, pay their greens fees, and get the day going. It's finally a nice day again, Adam. It's not like 500 degrees out.
Oh my God. Let me tell you, man. I run basically every day, and running this week I should have just hit up the treadmill at the gym, but
yeah, I'm arrogant. Running inside might be a good option.
Yeah. Next time. We're broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios and presented by your local Hyundai dealers. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. You can text us or call us at 312-644-6767. Barry, before we get into what happened last week at the St. Jude Invitational ending in a playoff and what's going on at the Wyndham Championship this week, our guest list here on the Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine, 620 TK Kelly. He's the winner of the 2021 Illinois Open. That was back on August 4th. 640, our weekly Swing Thoughts segment. That's with Dave Hannon. He's the golf instructor at Links and Tees in Addison. 7 o'clock, Jason Becker, the founder of Golf Life Navigators in Florida. And finally, 7:40, we will talk about the Wyndham Championship going on in Greensboro, North Carolina, with John Dell, who has been covering that Wyndham Championship for a long time. He writes for the Winston-Salem Journal.
Yeah, we're going to have we have a good lineup, Adam.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Really looking forward to it. But first off, let's look back to last week, the St. Jude Invitational, which came down to a playoff, so a rather thrilling way to end things last weekend, Barry.
Yeah, Abraham Answer, who's 30 years old. He won his first tournament on the PGA Tour. He's had some runner-up finishes in actually this season. Some people may remember Abraham for when he was playing on the President's Cup team for the international squad. And he said that he was really looking forward to playing head-to-head with Tiger Woods. And because, you know, it was kind of like he was kind of a throwdown against Tiger. And it was kind of like, yeah, Tiger hammered him. So that was a few years ago. So but this past weekend, he was down at the TPC Southwind down in Memphis, where if you think it was hot here this week, Adam, Memphis is, I think, just a cauldron of heat all the time. And he won on a second hole of a three-man playoff. He beat Hideki Matsuyama, of course, the Masters champion, and Sam Burns, who's one of those under-the-radar kind of players who's just awesome. Abraham won with a birdie, and it was his first PGA Tour win, and it was the first win for a Mexican player on the PGA Tour, so that was pretty cool. The other thing was in that tournament, the other notable thing about that tournament was a guy named Harris English had a three-shot lead after the front nine, and he was about to win his third PGA Tour event of the season, but he hit two in the water on the par threes and made two double bogeys and another bogey, and then suddenly things changed for Harris, and it was all about Abraham. So that was very cool.
It's crazy how fast things can change.
Oh my God. Especially when you hit the ball in the water. This can lead to triple bogeys and double bogeys and everything, you know? So not good. But Abraham's
I will say, I haven't played a round of golf in a while, so I would get used to bogeys really, 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 really quick, I think.
Bogeys are your friend, as an old.
Well, that's how we learn. That's how we learn, right?
Bogey is your buddy. Just don't be making doubles and triples, because that'll really ruin your scorecard really quick. You can recover from a bogey, you know, but you can't really recover from doubles. Are tough. So as Harris English found, and as great, you know, it's amazing, as you know, Adam, just from watching golf. You know, just a few mistakes and you can really, the greatest players in the world, and a guy's going along great and he looks like he's going to win the tournament. He's got a big lead. And then all of a sudden, and it happens all the time. So, and it happened to Harris, last week. So, that was unfortunate for him, but good news is for Abraham. And, you know, I like Abraham because he's not like one of these big, tall, strapping dudes like Harris English. Harris is like, you know, 6'2" and all that, you know, looks like a, you know, looks like he could play tight end for the Bears. And
speaking of the Bears, happy Justin Fields plays football for the Bears Day to those who celebrate.
Absolutely. And I think we have to, you know what, we have to do an investigative report down at Ohio State. You know what, who might know? Is TK Kelly, our first guest, may know if Justin Fields plays golf, because TK went to Ohio State and played golf there, obviously, and so he may have some Ohio State connection. So let's not forget to ask him if Justin Fields plays golf.
Oh, absolutely! You know? That'll be the first thing, probably.
That would. That's right, and we'll just talk Justin Fields his entire interview.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, yes.
Hey, TK, how would Justin Fields have reacted to your victory out at Stonebridge last week? What do you think he would have thought about that? Abraham is like a normal-sized human being, and he still plays golf really well. And that's what I like, too, about Colin Morikawa. He's not like a huge guy. He's like, you know, I look at him, and he's out playing, winning the PGA and winning the Open Championship and the various other tournaments that he's won. And I'm like, wait a minute. That guy is not that huge. So he seems like a guy who, you know, an old-fashioned second baseman from back in the day, you know, a guy who could be a reasonably sized human being and actually play in a pro sport. Those are getting rarer and rarer these days as the guys who are playing golf get bigger and better and more athletic every year. So, and the one other thing about Abraham is I remember seeing him play golf. He was a semifinalist at the Western Amateur years ago up at, I believe it was Exmoor. And he got into the semifinals, and I remember he couldn't afford his hotel. He ran out of, you know, like he didn't have any more money to pay for his hotel, so he stayed with some of the local workers up there, people who worked at the club, had a local had a home where a lot of them stayed, like a dormitory type of situation, or a fraternity house. Only it wasn't exactly a frat house, where he stayed overnight, and then he played in the. He was a quarterfinalist, so it was really cool to see him play then, and then you know to watch these kids kind of grow up, and now all of a sudden they're out on the PGA Tour and they're winning. It's a very cool thing to see. So anyway, that's the cool thing about amateur golf, and it was good that he won last week. So, and we're on to another tournament. Of course, the PGA Tour season. This is supposed to be the end of the regular season of the PGA Tour. It's the Wyndham Championship, formerly known as the Greater Greensboro Open, where Sam Snead used to win about every year. And this week is a big deal. It's the final week again of the PGA Tour's regular season. And it's a big deal for a lot of players for a lot of different reasons. First of all, I just want to say Kevin Streelman, our buddy, Wheaton, Illinois, Scottsdale, Arizona, is off to a really good start. He started 66-66. He's in the top 10 going into the weekend. So that's pretty good for him. He's already a lock for the FedEx Cup playoffs. So in order to get into the playoffs, you have to be among the top 125 guys on the FedEx Cup points list. And you know, there are some big names who are not in the in the top 125. People like Justin Rose, who was on the Ryder Cup team in a couple of years ago. And always a top star, former U.S. Open champion. He needs to finish in the top 10 this week in order to make the playoffs. He's off to a really good start. He's 66-65 in the first two rounds, so he's strong going into the weekend. Francesco Molinari, not so much. He's not going to get into the playoffs. Tommy Fleetwood. He's in danger of losing his PGA Tour card if he doesn't finish in the top 125. Not only is he not going to get in the playoffs, but he's going to, you know, he's going to lose his card.
And no pressure, and huh?
Well, it is a lot of pressure. So because a guy like him, so he's from England.
Yeah.
So he could, if he doesn't finish in the top 125, he's got to go into the Corn Ferry Tour playoffs, which is the developmental tour right underneath the PGA Tour, and so then he'd have to compete against those guys to see if he can retain his playing privileges. And moreover, you know, he was a hero. He and Molinari were the heroes of the Ryder Cup when it was in Paris a couple of years ago, and they just killed the Americans. Pairing that just murdered the Americans over there, and now, you know, there's a danger that he's going to make the Ryder Cup team, but still, you know, you'd like to be playing better, playing really well when you go into the Ryder Cup, which is the end of next month, so he's got about a month to kind of get his act together. The other thing is Ricky Fowler. So Ricky Fowler, you know, we know and love him because he's been on the tour 12 years. He's 32 years old now. And, you know, he finished second in all the majors a couple of years ago. And everybody thought, wow, this is the new guy right out of Oklahoma State. He's wearing his orange every Sunday, looking cool. He's got his flat brim cap. All the kids out there wanting to get autographs from Ricky and really identifying with him. You know, but he did not finish in the top 125 this year. So he's going to miss the playoffs for the first time in his career, which is a big deal. He was a real stand-up guy yesterday, talked to the media about it, said this is going to be motivation for him going forward in his offseason. But, you know, he's got to start getting going. He's been going through a swing change for the last year or so, maybe a little bit more. And his putting has kind of failed him because you know, that's what happens with these guys. And it happened with Spieth, too, for a while. They work on their swing change, their full swing change so much, and then they kind of neglect their putting. And then all of a sudden they got, oh, my God, well, maybe my full swing's better, but my putting is not good anymore. So he's got to get his act together. And then, you know, Jordan Spieth, he went through the same thing for the last couple of years. So hopefully Fowler, who is really a great young man and a beloved guy on the tour, can get his act together. The good thing is he's still exempt. He'll still be playing the tour next year because he was exempt for because he won the Players Championship a couple of years ago. So that gets you a five-year exemption. I know your head is spinning with all this stuff, Adam, because the PGA Tour, all this stuff is so complicated.
Oh yeah, it's beyond complicated. Yeah, it's something that you really have to dive into to understand. And I do remember, like you were talking about it just a few years ago, Ricky Fowler really being a guy that, I mean, he's so easy to root for, just watching the game. And I do remember him being a big deal, and now he's just kind of like. I just realized, really, when you were talking, I was like, man, I haven't heard about him in a while. And that's crazy. Not even making the playoffs, but we'll see how things go for him. We'll see how things go at the Wyndham, and we have to get to our first break here. Our first guest, TK Kelly, as we mentioned, the 2021 Illinois Open winner back on August 4th. This segment is brought to you by Illinois PGA professionals, experts in the business and game of golf. We'll be right back here on the Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine right here on 670 The Score.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I'm Adam Stasinski, filling in for Mike Esposito this week. Along with me is Barry Cronin, just like he is every week. Espo will be back next week. Before we get to our first guest, join Amstel Light for the Phil Mickelson Flop Shot Challenge tomorrow at Inglewood Golf Course from 9 to noon, or St. Andrew Golf and Country Club in West Chicago from 3 to 6. View all events and dates and times online at 670thescore/events. And we do head out to our first guest now, TK Kelly. He's the winner of the 2021 Illinois Open back on August 4th. We go to our Score hotline presented by Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. There we find TK. TK, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey guys, how are you doing?
Good, TK. How's everything?
It's going great. It's going great. Can't complain. It's been good.
You're basking in the glory and in the a pretty good payday out there at Stonebridge Country Club after you totally dominated that field.
Yeah, no kidding. That was good to see. The IPGA has done a really good job elevating that event a little bit, and I know some sponsors have kicked in to help as well. So we were pretty pumped about that.
That was terrific. So it was can you imagine the 72nd Illinois Open. So they've had a few of them out at Stonebridge in Aurora. And, man, you just dominated that tournament wire to wire. And what happened? What all came together?
I've been playing pretty good this summer. I've been kind of like putting the pieces together a little bit. I've had my brother caddying for me all summer too. And we feel like we've been building a little bit of momentum, and I had just finished a tournament at Purdue a couple days before and played really well in the final round and felt like my game was in a good spot. And then I just showed up there and kind of got off to a hot start from day one and never really looked back. I just kind of played super patiently and hit all the right shots. And at the end of the week, it added up to a good one. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then you graduated from Ohio State a few years ago, correct?
I did, yes.
And then what was your path after playing college golf there? You were playing the Latino America Tour, is that right?
Yes, I played down there in 2017 and 2019.
Right, and then what's been going on? I mean, it must be tough to. You know, to just make it on the tour and just to be a pro golfer And, you know, and not automatically, you know, we all think of, you know, like Jordan Spieth and these guys that just make it right out of school. And that's not really, the thing that happens to most players.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. There have been quite a few guys in the last couple of years, Morikawa, Matt Wolf, Zalatoris. There's a lot of guys. Well, even Zalatoris, he turned pro early and then had to grind for about 2.5 years before he made it out there. But yeah, it's tough. The fields we're playing right now at all these events are just so deep. Just playing at one this week and down here in Southern Indiana. And I think 27 under ended up being the winning score for 4 days. So, I mean, it's at all levels, it's just extremely deep and you just got to play well at the right times and take advantages of any opportunities you get that come your way. So it's all good. It's still just fun to just give it a shot because everyone has close friends and buddies who we've been traveling with, grinding with, playing with that kind of make their way through. And then all of a sudden one fall they're on the PGA Tour and you know you can do it too. So you keep working at it.
Right. Are there guys who are playing the tour now who you look at and say, you know, he was kind of where I am, you know, 3 years ago. And it, that gives you hope. I always think of a guy like Zach Johnson, you know, God bless him. Now he's in his, you know, he's in his mid 40s now. But I mean, when he came out of Drake, nobody ever heard of him. I think he was number two on the Drake golf team. And, you know, he did the Hooters tour back in the day and the Dakota tour and everything. I mean, is that the kind of guy, or are there other guys like that that you look to say, you know, I think I can get this done at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. There's always Bo Hogue is one guy on the PGA Tour who went to Ohio State before me, but he was always kind of hanging around campus when I was in school practicing and stuff and just kind of chipping away. And then about 2 or 3 years ago, he played really well in the Korn Ferry Tour, and then all of a sudden he's been on tour for 2 years now. And another good friend of mine is Harry Higgs. We've traveled together in Latin America quite a bit.
No kidding.
Played a bunch of golf down there, just hung out all the time, and it was cool to see him make it out there. I think that was 2019 now. Yeah, because no one moved up last year. So,
right.
And he's been doing great since he got out there. So, I've got a bunch of buddies out there, and it's always fun seeing guys you're good friends with and respect do well.
And TK, when you look at and you evaluate your own game, which I'm sure you do all the time, right? You say, well, do you need to hit it farther? Do you need to hit more greens? Do you need to putt better? Do you got to get your short game a little bit better? I mean, because they're all so good out there, as you know. What parts of your game, aspects of your game, do you look at and say, you know, here's what I have to improve in order to get out there?
It's a good question. I've improved a lot in the last couple of years just in overall ball striking, iron play, and driving. I've always been good, but in college, I used to just kind of whack it all over the place, would get up and down, would kind of just, you know, manufacture my way around, somehow play good some days. But I've become a lot more of a well-rounded player in the last 2 years. But even still, I would just say I drive it quite straight now, I hit it far. But I mean, if I could hit it 15 yards further, it could make a huge difference for me. So that's kind of where I'm looking at now. Just seeing the top players in the world now. I mean, we just saw Rahm go on an unbelievable run. If you can truly separate yourself off the tee, the rest of the game just gets a lot easier really quick. So it would be hard for me to learn how to hit my wedge shots, you know, 8 feet closer per shot, because I already hit them pretty close. So that's, we're talking then becoming extremely, extremely good at one thing. So it's just about the things that you can kind of, the path of least resistance is just if you can hit it longer and straighter off the tee, you're going to make up a lot of shots and shoot lower scores.
So about how far do you hit it, and how far do you think you have to hit it?
I know I hit it plenty far enough right now. I hit it probably have 175 to 180 ball speed cruising, and so I hit it about 300 to 310 in the air.
In the air,
yeah. So it usually gets out there pretty good depending on how firm it is. But if I could, I mean, the truly top tier of professional golfers that drive the golf ball are probably 10 to 15 yards further than that and just as straight. So that's about a club and a half on every single hole. So, about 10 yards off the tee is roughly about 0.1 shots. So, you know, if you hit it 15 yards off the tee, that's 0.15 shots per tee shot. You do that over seasons, just adds up. I mean, it's almost half shot a week, which affects other things. So, small differences, but they make a big difference at the end of the season.
Right. And so, you know, all of our listeners always want to, everybody wants to hit the ball farther off the tee and straighter. So you have the same dilemma as all the rest of us hackers out here. But what can you do, a guy at your level, how do you, you know, get better ball speed? What can you do? You can't turn any farther like the pro on the, you know, a guy at a lesson tee will be sitting there saying, well, just make a better turn. You already make a great turn, I'm sure, right? I mean, come on. So what does an elite level player like you do to get your ball speed up?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the million-dollar question right there. Some guys, you know, I've worked out a fair bit I did some really good stuff in the gym this last winter that I don't know if it helped me get all that faster, but it helped me feel a lot better day-to-day and be a lot more consistent, so that was great. But I've had some buddies that have, you know, gone crazy in the gym and put on a bunch of weight and gotten strong, kind of the Bryson theory, but it didn't do too much for them. I've also had a couple friends do that and gain a bunch of speed. So everyone's still trying to figure it out now. It's certainly not a one dimensional answer where it's go do this and you'll get faster. So some guys do it by using those speed sticks that seem to be popular and just swinging a bunch a day. Some guys believe that if you just hit a bunch of drivers really hard, you know, you'll start to swing it faster progressively. So I'm still trying to figure that out myself. I have a couple ideas of what I want to do in the off season. So, and that's the thing too. It's a pretty tough thing to work on while you're competing mid season. Cause you're talking about probably making a change somewhere along the line. So, and there's also been guys that have tried to put on a little bit of distance and totally lost their swing and everything. So it's kind of a give and take, but you know, you gotta know what you want to do and be confident that you're doing it the right way. So, yeah, it's definitely a tricky thing to accomplish.
All right. Well, I would suggest a Harry Higgs diet if I were you. So, you know, you might want to just go beer and milkshakes, you know, stuff like that, and cheeseburgers. That's kind of it. Hey, listen, before we let you go, I have to ask you this, probably the most burning question in the city of Chicago. With your fellow Buckeye now about to play in his first exhibition game for the Chicago Bears this afternoon.
Right on, baby.
So, Do we know? Do we have any Matt Nagy sound, Adam? We were kind of wondering if do you know if Justin Fields plays golf?
I think he does. I've seen videos of him playing golf before. I was just out of Ohio State when he transferred in, so unfortunately, I was never on campus with him at all. But all right. I do think he plays golf because I think I've had some buddies send me some videos a couple months ago of him playing somewhere around Chicago. I think I saw him playing the Glen Club something. That rings a bell to me. But I don't know much more information than that.
All right. Well, and he was a baseball
player. We don't have
turds
on this team.
There's your Matt Nagy sound.
There you go. Thank you, Adam. You're awesome, man. You're unbelievable. Well, he, you know, he's a baseball player, so you figure he's got some swing in him somehow. So, you know, instead of swinging parallel, you just swing the other way. So bring it down. Well, listen.
Yeah, I'm sure he can hit a golf ball the distances I'm desiring to. So I'm not sure how straight it would be, but I know he can create that speed.
Well, listen, thanks so much, TK, for joining us today. Congratulations on winning the 72nd Illinois Open. 17 under par, 199. He dominated the field. And we really congratulate you and best of luck. What's next for you this summer, real quick?
I'm playing on the Form Tour right now, which has kind of been the PGA Tour Canada makeup tour because of COVID stuff going on up in Canada. So
right,
we're competing for Korn Ferry cards out here right now. I've got an event in Cincinnati next week, and then a week off, and then two more events in Pennsylvania to finish off the season. And then we'll, after that season finishes up, Q School starts around the end of September. So got a pretty important stretch of golf I'm heading into right now. So game's in a good spot, and it should be exciting.
Great. Well, thanks so much, TK. We'll let you go now, and good luck to you and the rest of the season and in the future. So we'll thank you very much for joining us.
And thanks a lot, TK.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. Thank you, Barry.
All right.
Well, that was great. And, yeah, certainly good luck to him as he's trying to – he sounds like he's got a promising future, Barry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a good guy. And his mom, Blue Kelly, played at Tulsa. A number of years back in the day, and with a really great women's golf team out there. So he's a really good young man, and we wish him the best. It's so tough, Adam, to for a guy to make it on the PGA Tour. We only see the stars, and we see some of the guys make a run in the amateur game, and then all of a sudden they get on the PGA Tour and they just get killed for a couple of years. You know, but they ultimately, you know, you got to hang in there and you got to really be committed. So I think he is.
Well, again, you know, best of luck to TK as he tries to get on the PGA Tour. And we will now head to our next break as we get ready for our next guest. That'll be Dave Hannon for our Swing Thoughts segment. He's the golf instructor at Links and Tees in Addison. And also, Barry, I think we need to see if we can get Justin Fields on to talk about his golf game, if he is, in fact, a golfer, it sounds like.
Well, no doubt about that.
I'm and sure he's not busy at all. So,
well,
you know, we'll see.
All we have to do is call the Bears PR staff and they would be happy to set us up with him, I'm sure, on a one-on-one basis. But I don't think he'd want to do the 6:20 shot.
No, maybe not.
We might have have him a little later than that.
And maybe we'll wait for the bye week too when he's a little less busy. I know they got some things going on up there in Lake Forest. So
when is the bye week's in the middle of October, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The golf show's going till then. That's good news.
All right. Well, oh yeah, we should probably ask about extending the show then, huh? Hey, we'll just to get Justin Fields on. All right, well, let's get ready for Dave Hannon again. Coming up next, our Swing Thoughts segment here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score.
Just let it happen. Be the ball. Be the ball, Danny. You're not being the ball, Danny.
Well, it's kind of difficult with you talking like
okay.
that.
Okay, I'm not talking. Stop talking.
And now, The Scorecard presents Swing Thoughts, some free advice from the best teachers in the game.
Welcome back to The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. I'm Adam Stasinski, filling in this week for Mike Esposito alongside Barry Cronin. It is time for our Swing Thoughts segment. This week, our guest is Dave Hannon, who's a golf instructor out at Links and Tees in Addison. He joins us on our Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Dave, thanks so much for the time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hi, Dave. Great to talk to you. You're out at Links and Tees, one of the great driving ranges, and you got a little par 3 course out there. It's cool, and then you've got Links and Tees in the bubble over the winter now, so that's very neat. So you got a lot of people coming out there. I know that everybody's taking lessons. It's hard to get it's hard to find a teacher who's not totally booked, you know, 10, 12 hours a day these days. So I'm sure that's another reason we're so happy to have you on the radio to get a little swing thought from you. You know, Dave, what people watch golf on TV. Sometimes you can go out to a live tournament. What do you think people can learn from the pros when you watch golf on TV? Or even like this week, you could watch the US Amateur on the Golf Channel, which is always cool.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating game for us to be engaged in, and certainly the level of play that we get to see week in and week out on the different tours, PGA, LPGA, and now you got the U.S. Amateur going on. You were talking about it earlier, how there's all kinds of different ways to play this game. You don't have to be the biggest and strongest and fastest swinging player out there. It's really about making sure you understand and put some time and effort into playing all aspects of the game and try to improve all areas and not just focus on one thing. And, you know, seeing people come out to ranges and practice areas, and everybody loves to just go to the tee and start swinging the club and hitting the driver and how far can I hit it. And when you watch these best players in the world out there every week, they don't all hit it 350 yards or 320 yards or sometimes barely even 300 yards, which is impressive. But they all have great short games, and they'll always talk about, you know, my putting was off today and I just didn't make enough putts. And the short game is so neglected sometimes. And hopefully you've got a practice facility that you go to that can allow you to work on all aspects, because you can hit great shots and get to the green, and then if you're two putting and three putting all the time, you're not going to have low scores. So I think it's really about understanding how to play the game, and rather than just always trying to hit the ball the furthest.
Right. And, you know, when you mentioned about the putting, we were talking earlier about how Ricky Fowler did not make the playoffs, the FedEx Cup playoffs this year for the first time in his 12-year career. He missed the cut yesterday at Wyndham. Would have had to have a really spectacular finish in order to get into the playoffs. But, and you know, his putting statistics have declined. He's down to he was 130th in putting statistics this year on the PGA Tour, which is very out of character for him. So it might have been that, you know, he was looking at working on his long game or whatever. As you say, a short game is really important. We were talking a little bit about the women's Olympic competition. And you had Nelly Korda, you know, got the gold medal, and Mone Inami got the silver, and Lydia Ko got the bronze. But there was one young lady who named Aditi Ashok from India. She finished one stroke out of the medal potential, and she hit it 30 yards shorter than everybody that she played with, and yet she was one stroke out of getting into the playoff for the silver and bronze medals. I mean, how did she do it?
Well, first of all, she's got a great game, and to be playing at that level. But when you watched her play, it was amazing to watch how she could read the greens and get the speeds right, and she made so many putts. And I think it just goes to show you that to be able to putt well, do things around the green, chipping, and all the short game stuff, because as a tour player and even as the average player, but they're not hitting every fairway. They don't hit every green. And you have to be able to have a complete game to be able to compete. And watching her, and I think Olympics golf is fantastic, and you're watching players from around the world, all different backgrounds, all different skill levels, and it's so fun to watch them navigate around a golf course and figure out how to do all their chipping and putting and get the ball in the hole in the fewest number of strokes. it's not easy. The game is not easy. And no. Those of you that play it all the time know that one day can be better than the next, but the full swing has so many movements going on, it's hard to repeat that. But putting is really, and short game and small strokes is where you can learn to be a great player and lower your score faster, in our opinion. As teachers, you can lower your score faster if you can master all the small movement, putting and chipping,
right,
and know that the full swing some days is going to be there and some days it isn't. But, man, if you can be a good putter, and good putting doesn't require you to be big and strong and swing fast. Anybody can be good putters and anybody can be good around the greens, but you got to, you got to understand it and you got to put some time and effort into it.
Yeah. And I think people a lot of times beat themselves up about their own abilities. You know, you, if you look at the PGA Tour, as you know, Dave, you know, 66% of the time they hit the green in regulation. Okay, so that's 2/3 of the time they do it. So they're missing the green in regulation 1/3 of the time, which is, you know, for the average person, even if you're a, even if you're a single digit handicapper, and you know better than I do because I'm far from that. You know, the average single digit handicap that you know or that you've played with or see, I mean, they're lower than 66% of the time making the green in regulation, right?
Oh my gosh, is it 50%? Is it 40%? I mean, the number just keeps coming down,
right?
As the handicap goes up, and so, yeah, I mean, it's just it's a constant battle with this game on how do I get to the green, and then how do I get the ball in the hole?
Right, and then when you, once you get on the green, I mean, to me, the most remarkable statistic is that from 8 feet. The average PGA Tour player makes the putt 50% of the time. So if you were to watch the final round of a tournament and you look at the competitive groups, the people that are going for the tournament championship, right, the four or five guys or however many there are, they're making everything that week. So it makes golf look so much easier than it really is.
Well, absolutely. And many times, you know, if you're watching a coverage of a tournament, you're watching the players that are playing the best that week.
Right.
And it's impressive, but there's a whole field of players that are great players that just weren't able to compete that week. And how often do you ever hear a tour player who won said, man, I hit the ball great, I just didn't make any putts. It's like, no, it's a complete opposite of that.
Right.
I made putts all day, and that's what allowed me to have the lowest score and to be able to win. And that, to me, just speaks volumes of how important the short game and the putting is compared to all the long game stuff. It's fun. It's fun. It's great, and it's a huge part of the game, but it's not the, it doesn't produce the end result that we're all looking for sometimes.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. We've got we talk about short game, practicing short game, et cetera. And if you're at a private club, yeah, it's easier because there's not as many people around and maybe there's a short game practice facility and a nice putting green. But if you're a regular public player, which, you know, most people are, it's difficult to find really good places to practice your short game and your putting. What would you say to, I mean, there's a lot of park districts out there and maybe that we even have some park district board members that are listening. Do you have any encouragement for them, things to do to help their golfers in their little towns, in their suburbs or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, certainly that can be a hurdle, trying to find a place to practice, and hopefully as golfers, you're wanting to practice because it's important to be able to work on areas and improve different parts of your game. And practice is important, but you need to have practice with clarity and practice with purpose. But sometimes even some of the little stuff can be done, whether you're at home, you know, just because the putting stroke can be worked on anywhere technically. You don't have to have the perfect putting green. You don't have to have the perfect practice facilities. So, but I think if you can seek out a facility that's convenient to you, that does offer all the practice facilities of putting and short game, and make sure you put that into your practice routine. Going to the range and taking the full swings and hitting all the golf balls is fun. It can be good exercise, but you need to make sure putting and chipping is a part of your practice routine. It was a real quick story. I had a collegiate female player, and I'm sure all the college players talking to TK Kelly early, it was fun to listen. I mean, what an amazing accomplishment he had. But I was asking her about their practice routine because I had a couple of high school players that were with me, and she said, well, we might have practice for 2 or 3 hours with our coach. I said, well, how does that practice go? And she's like, well, we'll spend, you know, a good hour and a half on putting and short game, and then we might get to take full swing shots for about 30 minutes of the session. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the light bulb, I was trying to get the light bulb to go off in my high schoolers. It's like, that's what you got to do. That's how you learn how to score. So,
Well, Dave,
yeah, I mean, finding facilities is important.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thanks so much for enlightening us on all that. I think the points you're making are really important. And what I would tell the Park District guys listening is to go build some short game areas and big putting greens for families and build some Himalayas out there. And you'd be unbelievable. You wouldn't believe how many families will be out there putting and stuff. So anyway, so if you want, Dave, I think you have a wonderful website here, PlayBetterGolfAcademy.com. PlayBetterGolfAcademy.com. That's how you get a hold of Dave. And, you know, thanks so much for being with us, man.
I really appreciate the time, Dave.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
Well, it was great. You know, I always appreciate advice in any form as a rather novice golfer. It's always, you can't get enough advice.
No, and I think the key thing is, Adam, that, you know, I know people are not into it. They don't have time, et cetera. But if you just go to a putting green for a half an hour and just putt around, you go, at least it can develop a little bit of a feel for what you're doing. Just a little bit of a feel. You don't have to be a student of it. You don't have to do all that, but just a little bit of a feel. Make a long, you know, hit it 50 feet and then hit it 10 feet and hit it 2 feet, whatever. It's just such a basic thing, but it can make a big difference.
We have to get to a break. Before we do, log on to cdga.org/contest to register to win a CDGA season starter pack. In the pack, you'll get an Imperial hat, towel, and zero friction super tube with Spectrum mat, balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season. We do have to get to a break. Our next guest coming up, Jason Becker. He's the founder of Golf Life Navigators in Florida. You're listening to The Scorecard presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine with Barry Cronin. I'm Adam Stasinski. You're listening to The Score.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.